Welcome to Message of Love for Sudan on Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you, the program that brings you everlasting truth. It comes to you every Wednesday at this time. I'm Justin and William.
In our program today, we'll be listening to the Family Life lecture about love and attention from our sister Gloria. You will also be listening to a wonderful song from GABN Choir.
We also have our brother Oteka Morris in the studio with his spiritual presentation, Healing at the House of Mercy. If you want to know more about our program, you can call us on 0782-780-867.
Before we invite Gloria with a family life topic, love and attention, listen to this beautiful song. That was a beautiful song from GABN Choir. It is now time to listen to the Family Life Lecture from our sister, Gloria. We are happy to be with us in the studio today here. You're welcome.
Next theme is love and attention. You just come home from work. You are reading the paper and your little one runs up to you saying, "Daddy, come outside and see what I made." What do you do? Unfortunately, most of us would say something like, "Not now. Can't you see I'm reading? Daddy, please, I can't wait. I want to show you something. Please come outside." We need to show our children love and attention. That's the only way how we shall prove to them that we really love them and we care most about them. Because when you give your child love, that child will also love you back. Because the Bible says, if you want someone to love you, then you should show love. If you want peace with people, then you should also show peace to other people. So we need to love our children so that they will be able to love us back. And we also need to pay them attention. When a child calls you, you just no need to harass your child. Or you just shut him down that, "No, you first have to wait. I have to do what I'm doing first before I got what you want to show me." You have to go and see what your child has made or what your child has called you for. Or listen to what he's going to tell you, because it might be even more important of what you're doing. It might carry a lot of value. So it's very good if we always and always love and pay attention to our children. They will have a good time with us. We should take an example from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 27. "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act." That's a very wonderful scripture. We can learn a lot from this. But now, as we're being fixed up with time, we just can't explain everything about that scripture. But it's a very important scripture in our life. We need to know it. We need to read it and meditate upon it and understand it very well. It's going to help us a lot.
You are just listening to Gloria with her beautiful Family Life Lecture. You are listening to Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you.
For your personal knowledge and growth, we also have a free Bible Correspondence School lessons, which lets you know more about the Bible and physical health. These courses include Basic Health, Step to Christ, Bible Truth, Unsealing Daniel, Unlocking Revelation, and Personal Bible Study Guide.
To ask for these free important courses, you can write to us at Messages of Love Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823 Arua, Uganda, or call us on 0782-780-867.
Have you listened to any good news recently? What could be the good news? Here is Oteka Morris with today's spiritual presentation, Healing at the House of Mercy. You're welcome, brother.
Brethren, this evening I welcome you as we are going to meditate upon the word of the Lord. May the Spirit of the Lord lead us through. This evening, our topic for discussion is healing at the house of mercy, of which it will focus on John the Gospel, chapter 5. We are going to begin by seeing the following points. Many, if not all of us, love to live in a free country, a country where you don't need to fear what might happen to you at night. A country where you can travel all alone far distant without having to worry about your life. That is what everybody is desiring for. We are trying to reach the place where there's no much worry about our daily life, where there's no worry about what might happen to us at any time. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. A place where we shall be free from all kind of troubles, from all kind of difficulties, from all kind of hardship. A country where you will be free to travel wherever you want. There will be no more protection. There will be no more insecurity. There will be no need for security. Everything will be fine for those who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That being true, we must always remember that the followers of Jesus are first of all citizens of the kingdom of God, and then secondly, citizens of their particular country. All the followers of Jesus Christ Their first citizenship is in heaven. And the second one is the country where they belong. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us where we shall be a citizens of that kingdom forever and ever, for eternity. I'm thankful that God has always been on the side of freedom, especially the kind of freedom that comes from knowing and trusting Him. If we are trusting in the Lord, the kind of freedom that we are anticipating for is, it will come from trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. To become part of that citizens, we need to have trust. We need to have hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go back much further in time to imagine the story of a certain paralytic who discovered that freedom. John chapter 5 verse 1 tells us that there was something special happening in Jerusalem. What was that something happening in Jerusalem? What was the special things that was happening in Jerusalem? If we are to ask ourselves, I like to picture in my mind, first of all, the watcher on the wall seeing the crowds coming. I see the people walking in the field all around Jerusalem, looking out for their flocks. And the sheep herder on the hills, seeing the first crowd ambling toward the city. Looming clouds of dust mark the soon arrival of visitors, as well as the noise of donkeys complaining while they were being prodded, and sheep bleating loudly. Children scurried about the excitedly announced all the new events happening to their friends and their families. You see one of the paths into the city lead through the sheep gate, not far from the temple. Then near the sheep gate, there was double full of Bethesda. According to some Bible translations, this full was surrounded by five roof entry with columns and arches. But on this day, there were no philosophers gathered there. There were no wise men or teachers or rabbis with their usual flocks of the attentive students sitting at their feet. Those people were thinking that they were well off. They were far better than the rest. Instead, as usual, there were a crowd of sick, blind and lame people loitering there, lying on their filthy and washed garment and their beds roll. They were just waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting for healing. They had that belief in their minds that there was healing taking place in the pool of Bethesda. When the angels of the Lord come from heaven and dirty the water, the first person who will enter into the water will get healed and will get better. So many people were crowded there, waiting that they will get better from all kind of difficulties, from all pain, from all sorrow, and from all misery that they were undergoing. That's why there were very many people. But the rabbi, the philosophers, the wise, they see those things like waste of time, because they feel that they were well up. They were better. Only the sick who need doctors. But those who are not sick, there's no need for them to go for medication. But outside the pool area, multitude passed by the scene in their fine, colorful clothes, clean from their beds, and they before fragrant oils. As they passed by the pool, the sights and smell were not very pretty, nor were they very fragrant. They didn't look at that direction, and they covered their nose as they went. So those people who were passing by, they saw the sufferers. They looked at them as hopeless. Their clothes were filthy. They were so smellful. So those who are passing by, they don't want to waste their time looking at those one, waiting at the fool, looking for where their help might come from. Hundreds of sufferers gathered there at the full, all of them captive to their pain and misery. Some, I understand, spend the night in this passage, creeping to the edge of the pool, day after day, in vain, hope of finding relief from their misery. They were all there because of a commonly held belief about the water. Periodically, they thought an angel came down from heaven and agitated the otherwise quiet water, and that whoever got into the pool first would be healed of whatever disease he had. So the only hope that people were there having was that the first person who will enter the water after the angels of the Lord come and agitated the water, the first person who will enter into the pool will get healed. That was the common belief that people were believe that people held in common. How strange it was that in the land of the truth, in the land of the scriptures, the revelation of God, and these people were captive to a false hope. They were only hoping that their help will come from that pool. Did I mention that there was tremendous crowding here? Many couldn't even get near the pool. And many who succeeded in getting close to the edge of the pool died on its brink. They were that sick. In fact, there was always some dying every few days. The place was littered with dirty humans. Its smell of body odor and a wreck of human suffering. For those who spend life there, their times alternate between long stretch of boring silence, punctuated by a few moments of tense exhilaration. For most, there was just the eternal waiting and watching. The moans and groaning mingled with a prayer to God for healing and for mercy. According to some Bible translation, it was the house of mercy, Bethesda, more like the house of waiting. Days, perhaps weeks, passed by and nothing ever happened. But when the water was suddenly agitated, that was a total different picture. It became a loud, noisy rush. There would be so many people shouting and scrambling forward that they would tremble underfoot. Men, women, and children weaker than themselves. No, there wasn't much mercy at the pool of Bethesda. Not much mercy there at all. Just scrambling, selfishness, and competition. People who were rivaling there were just thinking of themselves only. Nobody would mind about his or her friends. There was competition. People were scrambling who will be the first person to enter into the pool after the angels of the Lord has agitated the water. Some of the homeless were new arrivals placed there by sympathetic friends, hoping they would be healed. There were some people who were brought there by their friends. Those friends brought them purposely, thinking that when they are there, they may get healed. But according to verse 5, there was one who had been there the longest, one cause of supreme worseness. It was that of a man who had been a helpless cripple for 38 years, alone and friendless, and no doubt feeling was shut out from God's mercy. This sufferer passed a long years of misery, and the people who pitied him, his helplessness, would carry him to the porches when they expected the pool to be troubled. But whenever the water did suddenly and mysteriously move, they were nowhere around, and he had no one to help him in. That man was all along trying his best, at least to get into the water, but his helplessness could not help him. He was so weak and lame as he was. He couldn't move very fast. His legs were paralyzed and useless. So no one bothered him because he couldn't really compete with anyone. Feeble as he was only an invalid with no real hope, only desperation. Others who weren't as bent up perhaps talked among themselves as to how long it would be before he would die. Of course, as soon as he would die, someone else would occupy his meager space. So this man has no hope completely. People who are far better than him will just get into the water and get help. Many who had that chance enter into the water. After getting better, they leave. But that man spent over 38 years trying to get well, but nothing could happen to him. He walked around and carefully observed everyone, treading his step carefully so as not to step on anyone. And finally, he saw the old man. He saw the man who knew the man, whole history, that his desire had been mostly the result of his own sin. And so by everyone else, it looked like this was a judgment from God on him. He knew this man needed healing, and to know that God had not forgotten him, and that God was himself the source of all mercy and forgiveness. The sick man had just turned his head to look at the fool and rested on his back, down on his mat, closing his eyes. When the tender, compassionate face bent over him, "Do you wish to be healed?" The word jolted him back to attention. And to the first thing he noticed about this face that had spoken those words, where those kind eyes, that look of compassion, and briefly he hoped that he might get the help that he wanted. But only for a very brief moment, because the glow of encouragement quickly faded, and he remembered how often he had tried to reach the fool. And now he had little prospect of even staying alive until the water would be traveled again. "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in." John chapter 5 verse 7. So many times he had missed out on one thing he was hoping for. The healing he desired was always so close, but so far away. And then he had that same kind of voice speaking to him. "Stand up, stand up. Pick up your mat and walk." When he turned to see who was speaking this voice, he realized it was a very sympathetic voice from one who was ordinary beings. And so he stretched up himself and realized it was true, and that he is getting healed. So this was the kind of words that man was hoping to see. Today, the same thing is happening to us. What about you? Wrong belief and traditions, legalism, a formal ritualistic experience, or perhaps unwise and unhealthy choices. Whatever we are held captive by, there is freedom in choosing to believe in Jesus. We should choose to believe in Jesus. The man and the fool believed Jesus could be trusted enough to follow him. And Jesus came to show that man and to show us the way to freedom. And that is the kind of freedom that I want. Do you want that freedom too? Nothing else is more important. Let us turn to Jesus Christ. He is the only physician. He can make us better. Like very many people who were crowding under the pool of Bethesda, they were looking for better health. Today, we have that great hope. Jesus will make us well. Let us trust and hope in Jesus, that one time, one day, we shall be healed from all the kind of sickness, from all misery that we are undergoing.
That was Oteka Morris with his wonderful sermon, Healing at the House of Mercy, broadcasting live from Adventist World Radio. As you think about what you have heard, listen to this beautiful music.
Dear listener, for tuning to this program, and keep on listening. More programs are still coming your way. You can listen to us next week at the same time and the same frequency. Wishing you all the best of your time. The producers of Messages of Love for Sudan today are William and Justin.
Mm-hmm.